welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. Today is one of my favorite shows. It's not that I don't like all my shows, but today's show, the topic is Conversations with Carol. This is where I get a chance to really just talk to people about a lot of different things. We can talk about your health. We can talk about the energy. I am going to start the show out talking a little bit about this crazy energy that's going on and how it's affecting our bodies, but more so how it just has us wanting to just kind of sit in a seat, buckle ourselves in, and just kind of go for the ride. I'm not sure whether it's on an airplane or in a roller coaster, but what we're going to do is I'm going to do that. But I'll take your calls. I'm going to try to get in as many calls as possible. So many times with the format that I use where I talk about illnesses or a topic, I don't really have a chance to jump in and really get a lot of questions answered. So that's what Conversations with Carol is all about. And I have one show a month that's going to be dedicated to that. So I hope that you're going to give me a call and we can just chat. Pull up our cups of coffee and pull up our chairs and just sit down and let me answer your questions. The only thing I seem to not be able to do is, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I know I get asked that a lot when I'm out there doing my evening of readings and my different events. And I'll say to them, you know, I'm not sure if it's me, if it's you, but I haven't quite figured that out. And frankly, the more I'm learning about it, I'm not sure I ever want to grow up, because when I do, then maybe it means that I'm done. And if I'm done, maybe it means I go back into light, which isn't a bad thing. But man, I just love these five physical senses and I love being with you on the air. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062, or you can call me at 425-644-5620. Well, I was talking to a friend of mine who is a medium, and we were talking about this crazy, crazy energy that has been happening. And, you know, what does all this mean? And how are we going to be able to just kind of go along for the ride? And one of the things that she was saying, that she had talked to her guides, and they said to her, you know, just buckle down and get back to the basics and, you know, go along for the ride. But the real important part of what they were basically telling her, as I get from all the readings that I do and the kind of where people are, and then also working with my guides, is they just say, go back to the basics, go back to the basics. If you've listened to my show before, you've heard me ask you and suggest, based on feedback I'm getting, I call them downloads that I'm getting, is to go in and ask yourself, what are you really good at? And that means going in and looking at all the things that you do, all the things that you have done, all the things that you enjoy, all the things that you procrastinate around, all the things that you know, just plain, you know, dig your heels in and get that stubborn streak and say, I'm not going to do this. And, but that's an indicator as to where we should be putting our energies and where we ought to be directing our mind as far as the thoughts we create. But more important, where we ought to be directing our energy. And literally that's physically and energetically. So when we ask ourselves, what am I really good at? We go in and we really go through and we look at all the different things. I'm good at being a mom. I'm good at being a listener. I'm good at helping people out. I'm not good at math. I'm not good at tasks that are redundant. So we go in and we just kind of keep looking at those things. So that's question number one, that we started this a long time ago, but it's really been very prevalent in our thinking around, what am I really good at? Now, once you do that, the next question to ask yourself is, what do I really, 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 or really, 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 however many that you want to add to it, underline really, put an exclamation point by it, what do I really love to do? And one of the things with the energy where we are now is those two questions really sort through all the things that we've done because we thought we needed to, or because we didn't want to create a problem. We didn't want conflict. Maybe it's what we came out of high school and some counselor or a parent said to us, this is what you're going to do with your life. But we've really not had a connection with it. And that connection I'm looking for is passion. And when I say the word passion, people think that it really needs to be someone that comes in and, you know, it's just there. It's insatiable. They absolutely have to do it. It's almost like they're obsessed with that passion to be able to do whatever they are. But what I'm talking about in the passion is the passion that allows you to do the same thing over and over again, and it doesn't look redundant. The same thing that you don't, the things that you love to do that you don't procrastinate around. A quote that I heard once said, we never procrastinate around the things we love to do or we want to do. So you can use passion, look at it from a different standpoint. But both of those questions are really asking us to really go in and get down to the foundation of who we are, the basics, kind of that bottom line foundation. And when we go in, and one of the places to start that I find is to go in and to understand your personality. If you don't know your personality color, you can go on my website, www.ritberger.com, and there's a mini personality assessment in there. If you want to know more about personality, you can purchase any of my books, What Colors Your Personality, Your Personality, Your Health, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do with It. And all of those look at a different aspect of who we are from a personality standpoint, but there's an assessment, a full long version, 60 statements, and that talks to your brain. It says, how do you gather information and make decisions? The greatest obstacle that we have in our life is that we think or feel we need to make decisions different than who we really are. So when we get to that baseline part of who we are, we really need to know our neurology, as I call it, because that drives decisions, it drives the tasks that we're attracted to and the ones that we'll avoid, the people we're attracted to, the people we'll avoid, when we feel good, when we feel bad, when we're in the right place, we're in the wrong place. So it goes back to that. So the guides, and as my friend was saying, buckle down. What that means is get to know yourself. The old ancient metaphysician said that the best way to be able to heal yourself and create the life that you desire is to know who you really are. And sometimes that means going through the minutiae of all of our conditioning and going in and just saying, who am I? What do I really love to do? What makes me want to get up in the morning? What makes me want to continue doing what I'm doing? And there's always obstacles. That's why the other part I started out the show saying, you know, is this getting on an airplane and buckling yourself in, or is it a roller coaster? And the reality of it is that it's really both. The metaphor of the airplane is to rise above and move beyond where we are. The metaphor of the roller coaster is to tell us that life has highs and lows. It has a cycle. When we're at the high part of it, we see things different. When we're at the low part of it, we see things the same way we always have. So when you look at the obstacles or the situations or the distractions that are coming forward in your life, you have a choice. Every time they come up, you have a choice. Do you want to change them, or do you want to keep them where they are because maybe it's too much effort or too much on your plate or you're just tired or whatever it may be? The soul doesn't come in. Your soul doesn't come in and go, okay, come on, come on, come on, come on. Let's go on. Let's do this. Now your mind may, but your soul says, not a problem. Don't worry. It's going to keep coming back and coming back and coming back until you choose that it's the right time, the right place. You have the right amount of energy. You have the right self-confidence. You have the right perception of who you are. You know who you are. Now you can go in, and then the ride of the roller coaster can be fun instead of that terror when you hit that first incline and you look over the edge and you see that first drop. So buckle in, hang on. It's not bad, but it is about doing our work. It's about getting rid of all the emotions that we have buried deep, deep down inside of us that we've really maybe forgotten about. Maybe what we've done is we've just decided over and over again, I don't want to deal with the anger. I'm not supposed to be angry. That's the way we're conditioned. But anger in the emotion, from the emotion perspective, is saying to you, you know, you have a lot of time and energy, a lot of thought, a lot of repetitive behavior around this issue. And all anger is telling you is, do you want to change this? Do you want to work with it? So again, energy right now, highs and lows, I would love to say enjoy the ride. I'm not sure that I could say that with a straight face, because I can tell you there are times that I am screaming at the top of my lungs, hoping that someone is going to hear, stop this ride. I am done. I don't want to do this right now. And when I do that, I forget that I have control over my thoughts. I have control over what the ride looks like. I am the one that basically can shift my perception. Everything that we're doing right now in this wonderful shift of consciousness, the only thing that you can do is that you can change your perception. That's what this energy is all about. So just wanted to start out with that, and I'll continue to talk a little bit more about it, but I want to jump right in right now. Let's take Carrie from Pennsylvania. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Carol. Oh, I'm so fortunate. I've spoken with you before, and so I'm doubly fortunate.
Oh, well, good for you. Good dialing for those numbers, sweetie.
Thank you. I think my guides know I need all the help
exactly.
I can get at the moment.
Don't we all, honey?
So,
how can I help you?
Oh, Carol, I've had this cough. Well, I've had chronic neck and shoulder pain in the right side of my body, and then I have congestion in my lungs in the right side of my body. Also, and I have a cough right now. I've had it for a month. I've had it for 4 other months this year. So 2009, I've been coughing half of it. I've had it on and off for about 25 years. I just turned 41 on Monday. It's been with me for most
birthday.
Thank you so much. And it's been with me for most of my life. And I mentioned to you last time, I've done lifeline techniques on myself, and I take the turmeric. I eat a very restrictive diet, a gluten-free, almost vegan-ish kind of diet, very low carbohydrate. So I'm just like, I'm trying to figure out what am I not doing? Because I mean, you were talking about do what you love, and I do what I love, and I love my life, and yet this keeps coming back. So I'm trying to figure out what am I missing here.
Okay, so let's go in, and congratulations for doing all the things you're doing. I'm sure that there's a lot of listeners out there going, oh my gosh, gluten-free, vegan, doing all these things.
Yeah, well, I'm not a vegan,
But going in that direction, absolutely. So let's go in, and for the first part of it is that a lot of the chronicness that's tied to the lung issue itself is tied to candida. So you're certainly doing everything to be able to manage the inflammation, to be able to manage the diet to the point where you're not feeding the candida aspect mm-hmm. of it. The right lung, we hold grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting emotion with grief, because we'll say, oh, good grief. and from that standpoint, the grief that we feel in that right lung is usually the grief we have around a relationship or relationships with other people. But the real depth of that grief is that we, at some point in time, as our personal growth, we go in and we look at our life, and we go in and say, oh my gosh, look at how much of my life I've given away, or I didn't follow my dreams, whatever it may be. So in that right lung, we hold grief associated with other people, but really down in the very, very core of the lung, what we're really doing is we're looking and using that grief as a way for us to reevaluate our life from the standpoint, what do you do that you really love? And I know I can feel it in your energy. You really do what you love. But I'm going to tell you, sweetie, even though you do what you really love, Carrie, I can feel inside, sweetie, there's so much more to you than meets the eye. There's so much that you have deep down inside of you, the healer that you are, that you just, it's just kind of coughing to the surface. That's a metaphor I keep getting. It's almost like what you've been doing has been really wonderful and helpful and everything, but it's only a facet of who you are. It's only a part of who you are, and that there's something that's deeper, some more joy, more passion, that you want to be able to bring forward. It feels like to me that you want to explore some other modalities that you've learned. Lifeline is a magnificent, magnificent mm-hmm. tool. But honey, your tool bag is full of stuff. I mean, it's all energy. That's your common denominator. Grief around other people is easy for us to do, because we can go in, look at the situation, we can experience the grief, we can forgive people. But the difficult part of it is to forgive ourselves. So that's when I'm feeling way, way down deep inside.
Forgiving myself.
Forgiving yourself. And, you know, we think, well, why would I want to do that, Carol? Well, forgiving ourselves just even for, you know, just feeling bad about ourselves, something insignificant, you know, feeling maybe bad that we can't go in and have the diet like everybody else. That we can't
Oh, I do. I wish I could partake in, you know, in the lifelines I've done about myself have been like, you know, I've revealed that I've developed a lot of these food sensitivities to separate myself because I felt always very intuitive and eccentric when I was younger, but I've done so much healing around that, and I'm so accepted now that it just, it's so confusing to me.
Well, let's go in and take it another direction. I think all the listeners, what a gift you are. And I am going to go back to your physical body, sweetie. But one of the things is the work that we're doing individually and collectively at this point in time in the shift of consciousness is that we've done a lot of work. There isn't a human being that graces this earth that hasn't done their work, whether it's doing psychological work, whether it's doing, you know, energetic work, where it's doing soul work and everything. But where we are now, Carrie, is we are digging way down into the very, I call it the bowels of who we are as the human part of us.
Yeah.
We are literally going in, you know, that second chakra of, you know, fear of abandonment, or that first chakra around the fear of survival, and then dealing with the fear of unknown. I mean, sweetie, it isn't that you haven't done it. You just have an opportunity. You are down at the basement level.
Am I, please? Tell me there's an end to this, like somewhere.
Well, there is an end to this. When you get to the place that you just decide, and this is, and what you, I'll do it two ways. When you decide that you're in the basement, that you don't need to deal with, you know, one facet, you know, the mind, as much as the soul can do everything, the mind can only do one, two, or three things. So choose something that you're going to the basement. You've already been there. Came up in your lifeline. Go to the basement. Say, okay, I'm in the basement, Carol. What am I looking for? You're looking for this little tiny package called grief.
Okay.
And then when you go find that, and then you go in and you've said, this is all about wishing. This is all about you. This is all about not being disappointed. It's about being whole, not being guarded, not being considered eccentric. My gosh, we're all eccentric on some level. Changing the word. Maybe the grief you're looking for, Carrie, is a little tiny package called eccentric. Go into your basement and go, where in my life am I eccentric? And then pull those things up and come in and change the energy around the word. Do your tapping, do your lifeline technique around the word eccentric. Go in, find out where it is. Sit and ask your body, where are you? Where is my eccentric part of me? Go inside and make it fun. And then find that little part, or maybe you'll find two or three. Pull it up to the surface. Use your lifeline to be able to reframe it, to be able to tap it, to be able to give it infinite love and gratitude. And then bring it out. But when you give it infinite love and gratitude, the grief doesn't go away. The being eccentric doesn't go away. But you know what? It loses its charge. That's all you're working on, honey. That's all you're working on.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. Not a problem.
This is still my gift to let me heal the residual grief.
It is. But you know what? It's your gift to everybody else, Carrie. Your compassionate heart and who you are, when you just take those, you know, stop clipping your wings, sweetie, or letting other people clip your wings. Just soar. Just use the tools in your tool bag. Use everything that you've always done. Find great passion. What I mean by that, when you get through with working with someone, you should be going, yoo-hoo, yoo-hoo. That's what you want to be able to do. So that's where we want to go. Not that anything is wrong, honey. You're just done. You've done your work so exquisitely. You're down in the basement, hon. Pull it up.
It's
look
funny
because it
everyone keeps saying, oh, you're such a healer, you're such a healer. I'm like, well, why am I so screwed up? Like,
But you know what? We're screwed up. If you said, excuse me for saying that, wow, that's a first chakra term, blah, 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 blah. We're screwed up. That's first chakra. But the bottom line of it is, all of us as humans are working around that fear of survival.
Right.
If we change being screwed up to looking at, you know, the human ego differently, or we looked at ourselves differently, we would be much, much better. And what I mean by that is we would realize that, you know, maybe we're normal and everybody else is screwed up. That's just a shift of perception. And the other thing is, honey, my eyeballs were changed when I came back from the near-death experience.
Right.
I've come to reconcile myself. I mean, I've prayed and I've begged and I've pleaded. I've been on my knees. Universe, take this away. I don't want to do this. You know, this is not fun. It hurts. It's blah, blah, blah. Right. And then suddenly one day it's like, oh, get over yourself, Carol. This is who you are.
Really?
You know, Carrie, you're a healer. My eyeballs aren't going to change, honey, and your compassionate heart isn't going to change.
Okay.
So now I want to go into your physical body because I think it's really important for that to happen.
Right.
You still have some inflammation in the bronchial tubes on both sides of the lungs.
Okay.
My sense is, as I go in, is all the stuff you're doing, there's something that is external that is literally an irritant. It feels like it has a dampness or a mold, or it feels almost like it's a powder on a leaf of a tree or something with the things.
Yeah, when I walk outside, I can hardly breathe.
Yeah. And it feels like maybe if there were alder trees or maples, there's a powder. There's a real finite dust. And so my sense is, as crazy as it sounds, is if you went outside and you wore, you know, a mask, a respiratory mask and everything, that what you do is that you would see, and that's not to wear it all the time, but you would see that you could go outside and you wouldn't have this outcome. And it's almost like taking baby steps. But there is still inflammation. It is in the right lung more than the left. Your right lung has always been the weakest of your two lungs because, sweetie, the gift of who you are is you just put yourself out there, Carrie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, hello, here it is. I'm Carrie. And then it's like you get out there and everybody goes, wow, you've got three eyes and four ears and all these different things. And it's like, come back in and goes, well, that didn't work. So go in and look at that. But actually what I have is I still have inflammation in the bronchial tube, specifically on the right lung. I do have some on the left lung. I don't know if you're inclined to use albuterol or to go and look at anything. See if you can find a tincture. You know what? Most important, go in and ask your body. You're very skilled this way. What do you need that is a histamine? And ask your body. Lemons are great histamines. Basil is a great histamine. Go in and ask your body, what kind of histamine do you need? And what I'm saying, people say,
well,
that was the word that I was just going to say. Most people are going to say an antihistamine.
Right.
If we go in and we look at a histamine, then we can find what's going on. Then you can use limes and some of the others that are both histamine and antihistamine, meaning that they attack the inflammation, but they also quell the inflammation. So you might want to look at something like that. Do you do Bach flower? Essence on?
No, I've been thinking about it. I haven't found one that is, like, muscle tested well. Did you have a suggestion?
Keep on trying.
Okay.
Nope. I can tell you that it's got green and yellow in the color of the flower and the essence, and it's probably got maybe a white greenish center. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
With it.
I'm taking quercetin, and I even tried Claritin because the albuterol, it didn't work. Like, all these things, they don't work.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, you're not working. Albuterol works with asthma. You don't have asthma. You know, all the different things that you're doing, Claritin doesn't work with asthma. This
so should
is
I not take Claritin
sweetie.
Anymore?
Yeah, I would, yes. How about that? I probably shouldn't do that, but yes, I would, because I think it's making you more acidic in your gut. I think you're kind of in this tug of war with yourself. Your diet's
don't take Claritin.
Cleaning you up. I would say don't take Claritin for a while.
What about
see
the
what you can find. That I would continue to take for probably another 5 to maybe 10 days. It feels like there's going to be weather changes and changes with leaves dropping. It feels like things are going to be different for you.
Okay. Okay. And then Candida cleansing and that.
Oh, no. Don't do anything, sweetie. You're doing great on that.
So no more.
Your diet's doing great. All we're just doing is you're down in the basement, hon.
So if I eat a little bit of gluten or a little bit of cheese, I'll still be okay.
Test it. See. If you don't believe you won't, you won't.
I want to enjoy my life.
You are very, very powerful, sweetie. I just did a quote the other day. I have a thing called Wit and Wisdom for the Soul, and I was guided in August after the big shift of consciousness, August 9th, is to just offer from the perception of what does life look like through the eyes of the soul. And one of the things that was basically downloaded to me, it says, if you don't trust the doctor, the pill won't work.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't trust yourself, honey, you won't get to the basement.
I gotcha.
Okay. I gotcha. Light and love to you, sweetie.
Love you so much, Carol. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Well, let's go ahead and jump in. Let's do a very, very quick commercial break. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back and I'm going to take some more calls. Thanks for joining me. I'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Amy, if you are just joining me, we are doing the show of the month, one that I love. It's called Conversations with Carol. I'm literally chatting about anything and everything that you want, except for what are you going to be when you grow up. I am going to be taking your calls. If you have a call for question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. 425-644-5620. I have a teleclass tomorrow night, September 24th, 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 o'clock Eastern time. The topic of my teleclass tomorrow night, they're 60 minutes in length, is on fibrocystic disease and then also fibroids. And fibrocystic disease is primarily associated with breast fibroids or cysts, and then fibroids, of course, in the uterus itself. I've combined the two because while they are clinically discerned as being different, meaning from a medicine standpoint, they really share so many similarities. And I'm going to be sharing some of the psychological meanings behind it, how a fibroid or a cyst looks in the energy field. I'm going to be mapping it by chakras, meaning where do cysts and fibroids really form, what personalities are most more prone to it. So it's going to be 60 minutes of information. And then as much time as I have, I'm going to be answering more questions like I'm doing on my show today, Conversations with Carol. I hope you could join me if you'd like to sign up for Your Health teleclass tomorrow night, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. You can go to my website, www.Reitberger, R-I-T-B-E-R-G-E-R.com. I'd also like to invite you, if you're in the Midwest, I'm going to be doing a program in Grand Rapids, Michigan, October 24th and October 25th. It's called Sacred Transition, a metaphysical and spiritual look at dying. And when I'm talking about dying, of course, we're talking about the transition of human body into light. But if you could think of that sacred transition as every time you move beyond where you were, old thoughts, old patterns, old comfort zones, all of them go by the wayside. They basically go back into light, and then we are recreated or reinvented. So it should be a very exciting program. We do have many, many people who are leaving this earth at this time. And from my near-death experience, I'm going to be sharing what I learned about the other side and learned about the transition process and look at what we have around it. So again, it's October 24th and 25th. And then I'm going to be doing an evening of readings also in Grand Rapids, Michigan, October 23rd. You can sign up for either of those on Ritberger, RITBERGER.com, or you can go to RitbergerInstitute.com, and then you can sign up online. So if you live in anywhere, Chicago or Michigan or Wisconsin or East Coast, or even from the West Coast, if you want to go there, I hope you'll join me. I've found when I've taught this class before, I've had large numbers of people, and it's a very, very much of a healing process, not only in our working with those who have passed into light and understanding the process, but really it takes away a lot of the fears that we have around suffering, and we look at struggling different. So I've got two major events. Please, Ritberger.com, RITBERGER.com. You notice I changed the way that was said. It's spelled Ritberger, pronounced Ritberger. So please go to my website, join me. We should have a very, very enlightening time on both of these. Hi, I'd like to go to Mary. Let's jump in on questions. Hi, Mary from Tennessee.
Hi, Dr. Ritberger. How are you today?
I am very, very good. How can I help you, sweetie?
I was calling, doctor, because a few years ago, my mother suffered a massive stroke, and she was paralyzed completely on her right side. I was a caretaker. I took care of her for 3 years before she passed on. And after she passed, I fell into this very dark, dark place. I closed off everything and everybody. And lately, I've been trying to get in contact with my spiritual self through prayer, meditation, reading, the whole nine. And lately, the pain has been so intense. And I don't know. I don't know what to do now. It's like my soul is just, oh, God.
You know what, sweetie, and thank you for your openness to be able to share this. This is a big step for you. I can feel it in your field to, you know, open yourself up not only to me, but all of the listeners that are listening to this program and everything. That's the first step. The first step in being able to heal is the outreach. I want to take you to the very basics, hon. We do go in and we do our spiritual work. When someone passes, they give us one of the greatest gifts of life, and that is they ask us to go in and look at our life. What in our life works? What doesn't work? What can we change? It's almost like they transition and give us a gift. We give them a gift back because we say, you know what? I am going to change this part of my life. Wow. And so it's a natural part of us to automatically go to that spiritual part to try to understand, you know, what is this about? Why does dying have to have so much suffering attached to it? And why does someone have to either be trapped in a body or be in so much pain? Those are the questions that we again get a chance to look at ourselves and our life. Why do we have to be so trapped in our body and in our thinking? Why do we have to be so trapped in the suffering of our life? So the gift of your mother passing and the way that she passed is that it did. It put you into the dark night of your soul, hon. And it said, go in. And it really went in. It said, Mary, look at your life, honey. Where do you find that light? Where do you find those dark places that are really not the boogeyman waiting there? But what they are is they're the part of you that's waiting to be illuminated. It's a natural process to go into the dark night of the soul. And we have a tremendous amount of understanding in our humanness around what the soul is until we go to look for it. And then everything that we've been trained, prayer, affirmations, visualization, the best thing that we can do to see our soul is look at your skin. This is your soul. This is the organ that basically touch your, you know, give yourself that hug that you give everybody else. So that's where we go. And then we get confused around the soul. And then we have to go in, and the confusion leads us deeper and deeper into that darkness. So let me go in two things with you, sweetie. The first thing is that the best place for you to start now to move from where you've been is to do something physical. Get out of the house. You made this call. Congratulations, gold stars. The next thing is go out and do something that you know you're going to be okay. And do it. And then do it again. And then do it again. And then expand it a little bit more. We have to physically get out and interact with people and interact with nature for that healing around a death to really start the process. We get energy from trees, we get energy from pets, we get energy from people. Whether we talk to them or not doesn't make any difference. So the first thing is what you did. Congratulations. The next step is go in and become re-engaged in life that you have a sense of control over. The next part of it is, sweetie, is that because you were a caretaker as long as you were in this process, and because your warm little heart didn't get those little fuzzies the way that you wanted and you needed, and that's not that your mother was bad. She was a different personality. She had different warm fuzzies than what you needed. Somewhere you need to go in and put some warm fuzzies in there. And again, I go back, go out and do different things around it. So, honey, you are clinically depressed. What do I mean by that? You are chemically out of balance with yourself. Okay. Now, what you can do is you can go in and you can look at natural things such as SAMe. You could look at St. John's wort. You could look at 5-HTP. You could go in and look at different foods. There are things that you could do. You could do flower essence. You could use homeopathic remedies. You could go and do acupuncture, acupressure. You could do a massage. All of those things work at that energetic level. The next thing is that truthfully, you could go in and perhaps maybe some Wellbutrin. Or something that has just a little bit of allowing you to sleep, allowing you to go into that deep REM so your body can chemically get back where it needs to. Honey, your depression is because of a situation and event. You are not, now I'm going to tell you why I cleared my throat in a moment. You, hello, your mother just came in. Isn't that weird? Hello, everybody. Wow. This is the woo-woo part of the Carol Reiberger Show. But let me tell you, see, now you hear my voice change. So what you're doing is you are chemically out of balance. Find something that can help you chemically through this time to restore the chemistry. So, sweetie, you are not a depressed person. I can tell you that.
I was just wondering, you know, because before my mother's illness, I was a social butterfly. People were drawn to my energy. They were drawn to my personality. And I used to wonder why so many people were drawn to me. And they would tell me, Mary, it's you, it's your energy, you know. And all of a sudden,
it is. You know, you're like this.
That caretaker, I just withdrew. And when I say shut down, doctor, I shut down.
You did.
I have no outside contact with absolutely anybody. I have a friend, you know, that I talk to over the phone. She's basically going through the same thing. And that's why we attracted each other, you know, and
absolutely.
We hold on to each other like two koala bears holding on
absolutely.
To the tree.
Well, that's a great metaphor, but, you know, remove the tree and hang on to each other. But the bottom line of it is, honey, is that, you know, when I, a lot of times when I'm doing readings and stuff, I'll get a crackling in my voice or it'll shut down. And I used to go in and go, gosh, Carol, what's going on there? Is there something about you? And then I've come to the point where I've grown to the place. Your mom came in and what she said to me, and of course, always easy afterward, Mary, you didn't have a choice, hon. Your mom couldn't do anything. And you know what she says? She says, thank you. She says, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for taking that magnetic part of you and being there with me. Thank you for walking with me through the grace of this process and to be there with me when you did this. And you know what? Tears are the very best thing you can do, sweetie. Your mom is just saying thank you. Now, I need to tell you, how do I know that's real? I know it's real because I have goosebumps from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. Sweetie, when you get those goosebumps from the top of your head to the bottom of your soul, you are in the right place at the right time. You did what you wanted and chose to do. You learned how to live life differently through watching her. You did not become your mother. She's up there laughing and she says, oh my gosh, she has never been like me. I've brainwashed her. I've tried to do all these things. I tried to condition her. I even tried to guilt her. And you know what? Mary Carol has always marched to her own drummer.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So what you need, sweetie, is you're not a depressed person, but it would be helpful if you can find something that can give your body that chemical boost that it needs.
Okay.
To just, it's kind of like a car that has been locked in a garage for 2 years, and now you want it to run and you want to go to, you know, cross country with it. Well, honey, you've got to do something to jumpstart it. So something that can help you that way. You're not weak. It doesn't imply that you're weak if you decide to go and get something that's a prescription. All it means is we just need to boost you up, jumpstart you a little bit, and get you back out there. And, you know, your friend that you're carrying, honey, see, what you did is you carried your mom. You did this great work. And from that work, you learned. And what you did is you attracted this friend. And you're not going to carry that work, but you're going to share what you learned to that friend. And then that friend's going to share it with another friend and another friend and another friend. And I'll tell you, you have something inside you around this whole process of caregiving to change the caregiving model and perception. There's something big inside you that you can use this experience to get back there and to be the law of attraction that you are and to be able to help other people. We have many people leaving light right now. So you know what? It was a gift. I know it doesn't feel like it, but it was a gift. And you know what? I can't wait for your butterfly to be out there. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to feel it.
You know, the Chinese, I'm so excited now, Dr. Carol. Yeah, thank you.
There is a Chinese proverb I want you to hold. And that Chinese proverb is the flapping of the wings of a butterfly can be felt on the other side of the world. And what it says is we don't have to do a lot. We just need to keep flapping, hon. And there you go. Very good.
My God. And another question that I have to ask you. I'm having difficulty feeling like my left lung. You know, when I
yeah.
stuff my stomach in,
it
feels as though it's pressing on my heart, you know, or something. You know, it feels a pulling, a tugging or something, you know.
Absolutely.
And I was wanting to take a look at that.
Absolutely. So I can. And one of the things is I am going to say to you in this is that your mind is beginning to fixate on it. And what I want you to do is I want you to go see whoever you need to know that this is okay. We carry in that left lung disappointment. Don't be disappointed with yourself, sweetie. Also, that my sense is that you probably, when was the last time you had a mammogram, sweetie?
Oh, gosh. It's been about four years.
Yeah, there's nothing, I'm not picking up anything that should be a concern, but I want you to go in and I want you to get a mammogram. It feels to me like you've got some fibroids that have been there for a while and that they're fluid based and that they're just putting some pressure on things. Not big, not a problem. Just go in and that's what it's feeling like to me. Everything feels like it's okay. Looks like it's okay. It's just some, for some reason that came up. And again, no concern. It just came up. So, okay. Well, thanks very much. My pleasure. It was a wonderful time.
Thank you so much. And thank you for taking my call.
You are most welcome. Let's go ahead and jump right in for Nicole from California, line 2. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Nicole.
Hello?
Hi, hon. How are you?
Hi. Hold on 1 second for Nicole.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, Nicole. We've got probably about maybe 8 minutes, sweetie. How can I help you?
Well, I've noticed with my son that he has been waking up in the middle, actually not in the middle of the night, but soon after he goes to sleep. I believe he has what's called night terrors. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to do my own research to find out exactly where the problem can stem from for him.
Okay. So let's go in with this one. Oh, that's my favorite term. Anybody listens to this, let's go in. when I go and I touch him, his the normal, I'm not sure what that means, but clinically, the normal sleep cycle is 90 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And the deepest part of that sleep cycle ought to be that deep REM, and it ought to be about 45 to 60 minutes of that sleep cycle. Your son, when he first goes to sleep in that shallow sleep cycle, is actually in that longer. He feels like he's in that maybe 40, 45 minutes. He's not getting the rest that he needs. So I've got some chemical imbalances that are going on. That may be part of the restlessness that you see in him during the day, or maybe that he doesn't seem to have an attention span that maybe he does at other point in times. There actually seems to be some chemical things that are going on around the sleep. The other thing is your son is extremely sensitive to energy and to what he watches on TV and what he sees. And so there's a couple of things with that is you will want to really monitor what he sees, what he does. I can hear music around this child all the time. Mm-hmm. And so it may be something that you'll want to develop that music aspect of it. He is very sensitive to energy. He picks up energy. Being 6 years old doesn't understand that. If there's sorrow, if there's fear, if there's this, if there's that, he picks it up energetically. So one of the things that you might want to do is go in and look at what you can do to a couple of things. There's nothing really, this is not bad karma. This is not something from a past life that he didn't finish. But what it is biologically his body isn't getting out of that light shallow sleep when he first goes to sleep. So his sleep cycles are off and that can throw off his chemistry. There's things that you could do. Let's see. You could probably work with a naturopath to see if there's things that you could do with supplements. You could look at some of the dietary changes. He's an indigo child. He's very, very sensitive to not processing fat the way he needs to. My God, he could sit and eat a pound of butter or anything with fat. Mm-hmm. He needs that kind of a process. Very hypersensitive to sugar. You'll want to manage that part of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
That was him told me just, whoop, back off, Carol. Don't say too much, but I'm going to go in. I have to take a different direction with him. Okay, he gave me a different path. What he wants you to do is he wants you to help him develop his musical skills. Does he have a guitar?
No, but he does have interest in playing one.
Okay, would you please get him a guitar?
Okay.
And, you know, just let him maybe, you know, that Guitar Hero or something that's healthy, that's not too, heavy metal or anything. Get him involved in doing that. I have music all around him. I have guitar around him. He almost feels like he has a prodigy aspect around, music. He loves the guitar. It almost talks for him. Is what I'm picking up, and it feels like it'd be very, very soothing for him. I was going the food route, which is part of what, you know, the indigo that he is, but that doesn't seem like it would be able to help. Also, I would like you to find a psychologist, and not that there's any mental problems. He just needs somebody that he can talk to, honey, about all these things that he knows. But he can't talk to you that he knows or his dad that he knows or anyone else that he knows because it sounds kind of strange. Mm-hmm. And so if you could find someone that specializes working with indigo children that does any kind of, where are you, Nicole, in California?
In the foothills, Prather.
Okay. Let's see. Is that up towards Sacramento area?
No, we're more by Central Valley.
Oh, Central Valley. Okay. Let's see. Why don't you send me an email at carol@ritberger.com.
Uh-huh.
Trigger this thought in me. I will send you an email back of a wonderful psychologist we have here in Sacramento that may know of others down your way that are going to be working with these type of children, and then we can go from there. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So,
well,
but get him
you.
Right. You're welcome. Get him a guitar, sweetie.
So, Guitar Hero, that counts.
You did. Yes, but you don't want anything. I mean, he is a heavy metal rocker. I mean,
yes.
this kid could give Guns N' Roses run for their money. But what you don't want is you don't want anything that is so almost fearful to him, where they look too weird or they sound
right.
too controversial or it's too hard. It feels like he wants to just kind of come into this, a guitar playing. I mean, I can hear 12 string. I can hear acoustical guitar. I mean, he really does have a lot of skill around it. For some reason, it just feels like it would calm him, sweetie, and that might help him.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You are most welcome. You are most welcome. Well, my gosh, let's see what we're going to be doing around energy at this point in time. Thank you so much for calling me, all of you. Those of you who tried to call me and didn't get through, please try again next Wednesday. I'm on every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m., and we'll try to get this done and go through and answer as many calls as possible. So how do I want to end this show? I want to end the show with buckle the seatbelts. I was saying to Rebecca, my producer, when we were in the commercial break, I said I was flying home from Minnesota last night very late. We left later than normal, and of course I was very concerned about that with everything on my to-do list today. How about anybody have that? And we were flying. Everybody was asleep on the plane. All of a sudden, we got an announcement from the pilot, says, buckle your seatbelt. We're going to hit turbulent air. And, of course, immediately, we all got anxious about it. But when I really kind of closed my eyes and thought about it, I realized that any time we want anything or we desire anything that truly has the passion around it that we're looking for, is that we're going to have to literally commit to doing that. Everything in life has cycles. There's highs and there's lows. And for me, what that said is, Carol, it's time that you step into who you really are and just allow the turbulence to take you from seeing things the way they used to be to seeing things the way that it's possible. If you stay buckled down and you remember who you are, Carol, then it isn't a turbulent ride, and meaning something to be afraid of. But what it is it's the opportunity to feel the differences, to see the contrast. Major changes in my life as everyone else. I really believed that once I hung out my shingle as a medical intuitive, oh my gosh, a long time ago, that would be who I would be the rest of my life. It is a part of who I am. Then I started teaching my programs around the science and art of medical intuition. And then I started doing work around soul psychology. And I did work in my institute, Ryberger Institute, lots of different things, alchemy of self. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I'm no longer a medical intuitive. I'm a teacher. Well, I was a teacher as a medical intuitive. I didn't see it. And then I went in and I did that for 10 years, 11 years. And then it was like, gosh, that just doesn't feel like who I am. And then I went in and started realizing that what I teach is all about alchemy. And alchemy is all about creating this vessel, that's the body, to be able to find what in your life is impure, meaning what in your life is holding you back. Through the gift of alchemy, you take the impure and you turn it into the pure. But it doesn't mean that we have to throw out as a medical intuitive or I have to throw out as a teacher and I have to become an alchemist. I'm a medical intuitive. I'm a teacher. I'm an alchemist. I teach people how to change their bodies, to change their perceptions, to change their bodies, how to change their bodies, to change their perception. Everything that we do is interconnected. We have never been on the wrong path. Do we get stuck only in our mind, never from the perspective of the soul? So when I heard, buckle in, it's going to get turbulent, what it said to me, the old Carol would have been, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? And what I found is that I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid of the turbulence in the airplane. I was a flight attendant for a long time. I know what it's all about. But what I found is it gave me permission to go in and stop putting myself into these little tiny nice compartments so people can identify with me, but more important, so I can identify with me. That's what we all do. That's what life is all about. So buckle in, go to the foundation. What are you really good at? What do you really love to do? We're going to go through another energy shift in November that's going to prepare us for December. And people will say, oh, Carol, is it going to be hard? Only if we think it is. This is the time that's preparing us for 2010. And what my friend's guide said, what my guide said, just buckle in, get to the foundation. 2010, you can loosen up the seatbelt. You can, because you've done your work, you can start being who you really are. And by 2012, Oh, my goodness. Instead of this being the end of the end of the end, it's the beginning, the beginning, the beginning. And so that's what the energy is. And it's been a real pleasure talking to all of you today about the energy shifts, answering your questions. I am going to have another Conversations with Carol next month. I hope that you'll join me for every one of my shows. I'm on every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. And I hope the most difficult part of ever listening to the show or talking to me is, what question do you want to ask? Light and love. I'll see you next week on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.